and four verses.
Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Hang on, Miss Cheryl. Nobody's smiling. We ought to be happy we're in church this morning. We're looking dull and dim. Let's get happy. Okay, fourth verse.
Would you do service for Jesus? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily His praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Thank you, baby. See you.
Amen and good morning, and I'm glad Jeff got on to you so I don't have to. It's good to see everybody here this morning. I'm glad to be back with you this morning. In the way of announcements, the flowers at the altar have been placed there by the church in loving memory of Miss Josie Davis, who passed away last week, or week before last, and we had a funeral last Sunday, so y'all please continue to remember that family in your prayers. Mr. Rick, you got a birthday party or a birthday coming up. We'll have a birthday party. Next Sunday's Mother's Day, and we will not have any evening service. So y'all do a favor. If your mom's here, come and sit with her at church. There's nothing, no better Mother's Day gift than you can give than to be here in church with your mom on Mother's Day. So that being said, I would like to read this card. It says, with special thanks to all of you, to know you is to know people who are kind, considerate, and thoughtful. To know you is to be grateful for the special things you do. For everyone, for everything you've done, for being the special people that you are, thank you so very much. Laverne, Roland, Sharon, Nick, and Janet. It says, my family, me, Sharon, Nick, and Janet, want you to know how much we appreciate all of you. From the phone calls, cards, visits, even those who drop by just to give a hug, the food, the church dinner for my mom's extended family as well. We love every one of you. To Betty Hood, Leroy Taylor, and Jeff Neal, a special thanks for filling in for us when we were absent. And that's from Laverne. And I told her I was going to make her get up here and read it, but she'd start crying, and we can't have that this morning. So anyway, thank you all very much for everything you've done. There's nothing like a loving family, especially a loving church family. And we thank everybody and for everything that you've done, everything that you did. And I appreciate it very much. And it means a whole lot to me and Laverne both. Anything else that I forgot? I normally look back at my... Okay. All right. Anything else? If not, let's take a moment and go to the Lord. Our Father God, we come this morning. God, we just thank you. We thank you for this opportunity to be in your house. We thank you, Lord, for your peace and your comfort that you bring. And God, we just thank you for watching and taking care of each and every one of us. Lord, we pray as always for those that are on our prayer list. We have many who are sick. God, we would ask you to just touch their bodies and heal them. Lord, for those that are traveling, we ask that you would give them mercy and that you would get them home safely. We, as always, pray for those that have lost loved ones. God, we pray that you would hold us close to you. Lord, that you would bring peace and comfort that only you could bring at a time like this. Lord, we know that you understand the tears that are shed, and we thank you, God, for the memories that we have. Lord, we just pray now that as we go into your word this morning, that you would be with us, that you would open our hearts, that we would hear your words and your message and apply it to our lives. Lord, we pray for our service members, our first responders, wherever they are this morning. We ask you to watch over them and protect them, keep them safe, Lord, and thank you for sacrifices that they and their families make. Lord, we pray for our country. We pray for our leaders. We pray, God, that you would give them your wisdom. And Lord, we have many who refuse to use your wisdom. And God, we pray that we would just get out and vote, Lord, and that those people would be taken out of office, Lord, that we could put people back in who would help us to restore this country. And the only way we can restore this country is by putting you back where you need to be. We pray, Lord, again, that you would just be with us as we go into the service. We pray for Israel, God. We ask you to watch over them and keep them safe. We ask you to take care of everything that's going on over there, Lord. And again, be with us in this service, and we ask it in your name. Amen. Birthday to you, happy birthday to you, happy birthday dear Rick, happy birthday to you, and many more, many, many more.
Thank you.
Calvary's mountain, one dreadful morn, walked Christ my Savior, weary and worn, facing for sinners death on the cross, that he might save them from endless loss. Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer, seems now I see him on Calvary's tree. Wounded and bleeding, for sinners pleading, blind and unheeding, dying for me. Father, forgive them, thus did he pray. In one's life blood flowed fast away, praying for sinners while in such woe. No one but Jesus ever loved so. Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer, seems now I see him on Calvary's tree. Wounded and bleeding, for sinners pleading, blind and unheeding, dying for me. Oh, how I love him, Savior and friend. How can my praises ever find end? Through years unnumbered on heaven's shore, my tongue shall praise him forevermore. Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer, seems now I see him on Calvary's tree. Wounded and bleeding, for sinners pleading, blind and unheeding, dying for me.
Amen. Thank you and be seated. Doxology.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Thank you and be seated. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? 3:30.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Fully trusted. trusting in His grace this hour. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Number four, lay aside the garments that are stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Flowing in the soul unclean, oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Garments spotless, are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
I'm glad that I got the opportunity to preach last Sunday, and I thank you under the circumstances. I'm just glad I don't have to do it this Sunday, because I got a tooth that is abscess and it's killing me. So, y'all just pray for me this morning that I'll get through this without jumping down from up here and all right.
There are some things I may not know. There are some places I can go, but I am sure of this one thing, that God is real, for I can feel Him deep within. My God is real in my soul. My God is real, for He has washed and made me whole. His love for me is like pure gold. My God is real, for I can feel Him in my soul. Some folks may doubt, some folks may scorn. All of them didn't just go on ahead, leave me alone. But as for me, I'll take God's part. And God is real, for I can feel Him in my heart. My God is real in my soul. My God is real, for He has washed and made me whole. His love for me is like pure gold. My God is real, for I can feel Him in my ransom soul. My God is real in my soul. Cleansed and washed and made me whole. His love for me is like pure gold. My God is real, for I can feel Him in my ransom soul.
Thank you so much for that. I'll tell you, it's glad that we have people who are faithful, who come even when they don't feel like it, who have problems in their lives, yet they still come and worship God and praise God. And thank you so much for that, Jeff. I want to say again thank you to the church for all that you've done for me and my family. It was more than appreciated, more than I can say. And we appreciated it very much. So, if you will, I am in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I got to find it because I have my Bible marked for something else. There it is. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 is where we're at this morning. And I want you to understand, when I preach this morning, I'm going to talk about ministers and seeing who ministers really are. And I want you to understand that I'm not preaching this to make anybody feel sorry for me or to make anybody feel anything for me. And this is not a true sermon, I guess, for all who stand behind pulpits and call themselves preachers, because there are a lot of false preachers in the pulpit and who preach doctrines other than Jesus Christ, and we need to make sure that we stay true to the Word of God. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning in verse 5, this is what Paul wrote. He wrote, "Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believe, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos has watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God, ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building." Alright, let's talk about this because, as you know, Paul is in Corinth and he's talking to the Corinthian church, and they had a problem. The problem was that they had some carnal believers in there, and they were trying to tear the church apart, if you will. And they were fighting over who was the best preacher, right? Who was the best pastor? Some wanted it to be Paul. Some wanted it to be Peter. Some wanted it to be Apollos. But I want you to understand, the ministers weren't the problem, okay? The problem was that they were carnal believers who were hearing these men, and they were trying to put something special upon these men that they didn't deserve. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning, because just as it was tearing this church apart, it can be a problem in churches today. I know that believers have their favorite ministers, and there's nothing wrong with that. Every one of us has people that we can remember or pastors that we've sat under who we really adore, who we really like, okay? I'm no different than anybody else. But what we have to understand, that's not the problem. The problem is when you put that person on a pedestal and you feel like he's the only one that can do what God wants him done. And I want you to understand, this ain't just for ministers. This is for all believers, all right? Paul's talking about ministers here because that was the problem in the church. But this can be a problem within the church for all believers when we start picking and choosing, number one, who we're going to listen to, and number two, who we're going to follow. All right? Now, I say that to say this. Anybody who is teaching or anybody who is telling you about the Word of God, or anybody who is witnessing to you, or anybody who is preaching, the one thing you need to do is make sure that everything they say, you test against the Word of God. All right? If you do that, you're okay. If you don't, you have a problem. I've talked with a lot of people who tell me, well, this, that, and the other, and I say, really? Where did you hear that? Well, this preacher, so-and-so, whom I happen to adore, for whatever reason, I got saved under him, or he makes good barbecue, or whatever the reason is, he said this. Well, people say a lot of things. What we have to make sure of is that our leaders and our believers are telling people what the Word of God says. Okay? We need to take ourselves out of the equation, because we are nothing. I want you to understand that. I love every one of you. Every one of you, I believe, are the best people in the world. But we need to take ourselves out of it, because when we put ourselves into God's Word, we have a problem. Because we start trying to determine what's right and what's wrong. Now, the Bible says there are certain things that are wrong, and it lists them. It calls them out. But the very last thing I want you to remember is this. The Bible also says this, and it's very important. To know to do right and not do it is a sin. Think about that. To know to do right and not do it is a sin. If you walk by a piece of paper and you know you should pick it up and throw it in the trash and you walk by it, that's a sin. Because you knew what you were supposed to do and you didn't do it. Now that's a pretty simple analogy, okay? But think about that in your life. Think about the things that you know are right, that you should be doing, but you're not doing. Because to God, that's a sin. So, this is what was happening in the Corinth church. It was tearing the church apart, and can do the same today if it is allowed. They were fighting over who was best. Ministers are servants of God. The word minister means, listen to this, a servant, an attendant, or a waiter on tables. So the next time we have a dinner, I will wait on your table, because that's what we are. We're servants. Ministers are not to lord it over God's people, because that's not what we're called to do. We are called to be servants. And I remember when we were doing Jeff's ordination and we were in there talking, Leroy kept mentioning the word servant, because that's all we are, is servants. And really, if you think about it, each and every one of you are servants. We think highly of ourselves, but remember this. The night of the Last Supper, Jesus got down and did what? He washed the feet of his disciples. Now, I don't know how much lowly you can get than that, than washing somebody's feet. But Jesus did it and didn't think anything about it. He said, even though he was the Son of God, he was not beyond doing this for his disciples. And we as the children of God should not be beyond doing whatever we need to do to minister to people. Because that's what we're called to do. We are servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are disciples of Jesus Christ. And the word disciples means that we try to emulate and imitate that person whom is our leader, and that is Jesus Christ. Ministers are only instruments of God. They are only the servants by whom or through whom you believe. They are not the ones whom believers are to praise, nor upon whom believers are to be focused. God is to be the focus of attention, work, and loyalty. No minister created the message of the gospel. God did. Ministers can help people only as God gifts them. The gifts of the minister are not natural abilities and endowments. The gifts to proclaim the gospel and to minister to people are not of the preacher. They are spiritual gifts given only by God. The minister can only serve effectively when God gives him the spiritual gifts of his spirit. If you've ever stood and taught a class, whether it be in church or whether it be out there in the civilian world, or the military world. I'm sorry, I say civilian world because I'm ex-military. I think of the world as the civilian world. You know what it's like to stand in front of a group and to give a presentation. And it's not easy. There's a lot of prep time that goes into it. You don't believe it? Ask somebody that stands and teaches. They don't just get up on the day they're supposed to teach and start talking off their head. Because if they do, you will get yourself in trouble. My wife accuses me of that. She says, and I've heard it said before, well, just ad-lib. Well, there's a lot of things you can ad-lib about, but the Word of God, you better not ad-lib about. When you start talking about the Word of God, you need to be proclaiming the Word of God. But people need to understand, ministers didn't write the Gospels. We didn't write the Word of God. God did. Now, don't stop calling me and asking me questions. Don't, because I hear a lot of times people call me and say, preacher, I got a question. And I say, okay, what is it? And they tell me, and I try to give them the best answer out of the Word of God that I can. Sometimes I have to tell them I don't know. Let me pray about it, let me think about it, and I'll get back with you. And then I go to God and say, God, I need an answer. And sometimes God says, here's the answer, and sometimes God says, you know what? You don't need to know. And I have to call you back and say, I'm sorry. The man upstairs said, we don't need to know. We just need to believe. I was reading this morning a little bit in my office before we came out, a book that I just happened to glance at when I was looking at the books that are there in my office. And anybody's welcome to any book that I have in my office. If you want to come get it, come get it. There's a lot of good books there. There's some from colleges. But this one talks about the Gospels, and it starts talking about studying of the Gospels. And you would think, well, it would be about believing and this, that, and the other, but there's a lot of parts in that book that talk about critics who are trying to figure out how we need to study the Gospels. And they say that, well, maybe Matthew didn't write Matthew, maybe the Gospels weren't written by the people who wrote them, maybe all they were doing is just writing down folklore that happened to be. And you know, a lot of people say, well, you shouldn't read that. But you know, we need to understand where people in the world are at today. And people in the world are where they're at today because of bad theology. And that, unfortunately, is what is being taught in our colleges, even in our colleges that are supposed to be religious-based. You know, we see what's going on in the world today. We see the riots. We see what's going on college campuses today about all the anti-Semitism that's being proclaimed, and it is, because when you say that you are for a terrorist group who kills innocent people and did it horrifically, you're complaining about the Jews, who are God's chosen people, who God said he will protect forever and ever, and who God said if you bless, he will bless you. If you curse them, he will curse you. So be careful what you say. And we talk about how these children are indoctrinated, and a lot of them are, by bad beliefs, bad understanding of God's Word. And the same is true, unfortunately, a lot of our seminaries. And the problem with that is what they are doing is they are sending ministers into the world to preach the Word of God with bad theology, because they are trying to say we need to use our theology so to serve and to help. And whatever social problem is going on in the world today, we need to adjust our theology to take care of that. Be wary of that. We don't need to change the Word of God. We need to apply the Word of God, because it's just as applicable today as it was 1,000 years ago or 5,000 years ago. Or if you're one of those people that believe the world is 50 million years old, it applied 50 million years ago. God says, my word does not change. It is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the problems of the world can be solved by the Word of God if it is applied correctly. The problem is we want to change it to make it fit what we want it to change. That's why I said earlier, we need to make sure we get ourselves out of the way of God and let God do the work. And that's what Paul was trying to tell the church. He said, hey, look, ministers have a calling, and ministers have a responsibility that they are to do. What you need to do is listen to what the minister has to say, apply apply it by the Word of God. And if it's what God says, then you know what? You need to do it. That's why the prophets of old never said, Isaiah said this, or any of the other prophets said this. They always said, thus saith the Lord. What they were telling you is what they were fixing to tell you is what God told them to say. And a lot of them said, you know what? You're not going to like it. But you know what? I'm going to tell you anyway. The majority of them believed it so much that no matter what the people said, they continued to proclaim the Word of God, even if it meant that they were to die. And some of them did. Some of them died horrible. But they never gave up the belief that God was in control, and neither should we. Ministers of God are nothing in comparison to God. No minister has any cause for glory, praise, honor, or recognition. Respect the minister? Yes. Love him? Yes. Esteem him ever so highly? Yes, for the minister has an impossible task, the most difficult task on earth. The minister is to look after and minister to every believer. Personally minister every time one of them gets sick, goes to the hospital, one of their family members is hospitalized, a serious problem arises. On top of that, he also manages the conferences, its committees, and much, much more. Again, respect the minister of God, love and care for him, for his call and task are impossible, but he is not to be idolized and followed as though he is the founder of your faith. For one minister of God plants the seed of God's word in our lives, another minister comes along and waters the seed. All the ministers that cross our path contribute to our lives. They contribute either to the seed of the gospel or to the watering of the word. But note, it is God who gives the increase. No minister can make the seed grow. Therefore, glory and talk about God, praise God and lift his name up. Whatever gifts the minister has are of God, and whatever planting and watering the minister did was by God's call and strength. And whatever growth was experienced was due to God. You know, Paul used the analogy of a farmer and of planting and this, that, and the other. And I'll tell you, most of us have grown up in the South. We live in farming communities. We know what farmers do. Farmers go out and plant the field. First they go out and till it up, make sure the soil is ready for whatever they're going to plant. They try to get rid of all the weeds and the obstructions that may harm that planting growing. And then they plant the seed. And then they water it, and they fertilize it, and they do everything they're supposed to do. But you know the one thing the farmer can't do? He can't make that seed grow. No matter how much preparation he does, no matter how much care he gives the field, no matter how much he does to ensure that that thing will grow the way it's supposed to, the one thing he can't do is make it grow. And you know another thing he can't do? He not only can't make it come up and can't make it grow, but he can't make it grow the way it's supposed to. I don't know about y'all, but I've tried gardening, and the only thing that comes up the way it's supposed to is weeds. Right? Tomatoes don't come up the way tomatoes are supposed to. Oh, they'll grow, and they'll put a plant out there, but that don't mean they're going to make a tomato. I had one that I don't know how, but the seed somehow got planted right at the corner of my house where my dryer vent blows out. And I'll tell you what, I had the prettiest plant you have ever seen in your life, and it never produced one tomato. Because I can't make it do that. Now, I know what it's supposed to do, but it didn't produce tomatoes. So what good was the plant? Pretty to look at, but it didn't do what it was supposed to do. And as God's minister and as God's believers, all we can do is plant the seed and water the seed. But we can't make the seed grow. You know who makes the seed grow? God does. And only God does. So I said that to say this. You know what? We should never stop planting the seed. And we should never stop watering the seed. And you know why? Because you don't know what that seed's going to produce. God does. And God will use what we do in order to help what we have ministered, what we have planted, and what we have watered to make it grow. The Bible talks about planting seeds and talks about some landed on hard ground and some landed on fertile ground and some landed on people who believe. And it talks about the different results of what we did. We never know what we do or what it's going to produce if we do it. And you know what? We're not called to worry about that. We're just called to go out and plant and water. And then let God take care of the rest. Because you can't change anybody. Believe me, I know. If I could, I would. Been married 49 years and I still ain't changed my wife. And she still ain't changed me. We've gotten better. We've learned more about each other. But we continue to water and we continue to plant and we continue to trust God to take care of the rest. And I'll tell you what, it must have worked pretty good because she's put up with me 49 years. Going on 50, I know. She says, and I say, too. But you know what? We keep plugging along. We keep trusting God. Because that's all we can do. Put it in God's hands and believe that God's going to take care of it. Ministers are one. They are equal in God's eyes. And they are to be seen as one and equal in the eyes of the church and its believers. Note these two facts. One, both the sower and the edifier, both he who plants and he who waters, are said to be one. All ministers are called by the same Lord to the same office, to the office of minister, to do the same work, to serve God's church, to stand accountable before God and before God alone. Love each and every one of you. Respect each and every one of you. We'll listen to each and every one of you. And we'll take into account what each and every one of you want to say. But in the end, you know who I'm accountable to? It's not Silver Run. I love this church. I love you people. But I am accountable to one person and one person only, and that person is God. And I preach the Word of God, and I teach the Word of God, and I hope and pray that you understand that I'm accountable to God. And that if I step on your toes or I offend your whatever, I'm sorry. But the person you need to go talk to is God. Because when it's all said and done and I stand before Christ, he's the one that I have to give an account to. He's the one that I have to account for every word that comes out of my mouth. And you better believe that scares the fool out of me. Because I want to make sure that everything that comes out of my mouth is right. Because no matter whether I offend you or whether I make you feel good, the one who I have to give an account to is Jesus Christ. The one you have to give an account to is Jesus Christ. And that should make you think twice before you say anything. Unfortunately, a lot of times it don't. I say this often. Sometimes our brains slip into neutral and our mouth just starts spewing things. But you know what? The Bible says that the tongue is not tied to the brain, thank God. The tongue is tied to the heart. So be careful. Think twice before what you say. You say, because what you say is what you believe in your heart. Be careful. Be wary. Second, each minister of God is personally responsible to God. Each man is to be rewarded for what he does, not for what another minister does. A man uses his own gifts. He does not try to use somebody else's gifts, nor to be like somebody else. God gives him specific gifts for special purposes. You know, I was in the Army, and some of you were. And I served under a lot of people. I served under a lot of other NCOs. I served under a lot of officers. And you know the one thing that I was always taught? You're not going to like everybody that you serve under. And the same is true. You're not going to like every minister that you sit under. But you know what I was told to do? Take the things that were good and apply them to your way of leading. And the things that are bad, let go. And the same is true of a minister. All ministers are not perfect. We are all given a certain way to preach. We all teach a certain way. And some people are going to like it and some people aren't. But you know what? Take what's good, take what's right, and apply it to your life. And if there's something you don't like, I don't like the way he dresses, I don't like the way he talks, I don't like the way he uses adjectives, I don't like the way he thinks, you know what? Take what God has given him and use it. And let the rest of it go, just go to the side. Ministers are co-workers with God. God is the source of all in the church. All is of God. He is the source of all that concerns the church, the boat, the source of both its minister and its people. Ministers are co-workers and they work together with God. The church is God's field and building. The church is to bear the fruit and it is to make new additions to its structures. A field does not exist to lie unused. It exists to bear the harvest. A church as a field must let the one who plants and the one who waters do their work, or else the field of church lies useless to God. The building of the church lies useless before or useless for God. Both ministers and believers are workers together with God. All have a part in God's church, and the crying need is for all to cooperate in building together. We are all to work together. I know a lot of people say, well, that's the preacher's job, or that's the deacon's job, or that's the teacher's job, or that's this person's job, or that person's job. Let me tell you something. It's everyone's job to proclaim the gospel. Yes, I stand up here on Sundays twice and preach the Word of God. Yes, I teach on Wednesdays about what's going on. But you know what? When it comes to ministering, when it comes to reaching out to people, when it comes to proclaiming the gospel and sharing it with the world, that's just not the preacher's job. That's not the missionary's job. That's everyone's responsibility and everyone's job. People will listen to you a whole lot faster than they will me, especially when they find out I'm a pastor. Because that turns a lot of people off. But you know people that you can reach that I will never be able to reach. You know families who you can reach that I will never be able to reach. So guess what? The responsibility of teaching the Word of God is not only laid on the pastor or the deacon, but it is laid on every member of the church. So I'm going to let you out early today. Yep. And I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to ask you one question. What are you doing in the church today? Are you helping to build it? Or are you helping to destroy it? Because I tell you what, you're doing one of the two. There's no gray area. There's no sitting on the fence. The Bible says you can't serve two masters. The Bible says you're either edifying and building up, or you're tearing down. And you think about that. You think about your life. you think about what you're doing in the church. Are you helping to lift it up? Or are you helping to tear it down? Because you're doing one or the other. A lot of people say, well, if I just sit in the pew and I don't say nothing, I'm okay. If you're saved, you're okay. But you know what? You're not doing what God says that you need to be doing. God says we need to be out teaching the Word of God. We need to be out preaching the Word of God. We need to be out proclaiming the Word of God to everyone. And that's just not my responsibility and my job. That's everyone's job. That's everyone's responsibility. So again, I'll ask you this in closing. Are you building up or are you tearing down? I hope and pray that you're building up. If not, then I hope and pray the day will be the day that you come forward. The day that you get on your knees and you say, God, forgive me. Forgive me for whatever it is that I've done that's tearing this church down. And I'm not talking about Silver Run. I'm talking about the church of God. And Lord, help me to be a better servant. Help me to be a better minister. Help me to be a better believer. And help me to do the things, God, that you want me to do. Not what you want the preacher to do. Not what you want the deacon to do. But God, what is it you want me to do to further your ministry? Because that's what we're all called to do. Let's close. Our Father God, come this morning, Lord, and I thank you so much. I thank you, God, for the opportunity to be back in your house. I thank you, God, for the opportunity to stand behind the pulpit and preach your word. And God, I pray as your minister, I would always preach the word in all its truth, because God, I know it's only that truth that sets us free. The Bible says if we lift Christ up, he will draw men unto him. So God, we need to be lifting Christ up. We need to be lifting him up every day, every minute of every day. The Bible says your word will not return to you void. So God, I pray that right now we as believers are teaching your word, that we're preaching your word, and God, that we're spreading your word and your word only. Not what we think, not what we want people to do, but God, what your word says people are supposed to do. God, what the Bible says people are supposed to do. Lord, I thank you for this church. I thank you for every member of this church. I thank you for everything that this church does. And God, I pray that we will continue to do, we will continue to reach out, we will continue to strive to be the people we need to be the servants we need to be, so that, Lord, we can help somebody to come to you. Lord, it doesn't matter whether we sow, doesn't matter whether we water, doesn't matter whether we plant, because God gives the increase, and only God. So God, let us continue to plant, let us continue to water, let us continue to do all that we can, Lord, to open people's hearts up to the ministry, up to the gospel, so that God can touch their hearts and move in their lives. Lord, we can't make the seed grow. No matter how much we water, no matter how careful we are, no matter how much we take care of it, only God can do that. But God, we're supposed to keep doing what we're supposed to do. The Bible says the field's not out there to be just laid waste. It's out there to be planted, to be watered. And Lord, the Bible says there's many out there that fields are white unto harvest, but God, the laborers are free, few. So Lord, I pray that as your people, we would become the laborers we need to be for you. Lord, thank you again for this day. Thank you for this church. Thank you for everybody that's here this morning, Lord. And God, take care of what's ever going on in every life today, because God, you know what's going on in each and every life today. And God, we pray especially for those who couldn't be here today. We ask that God, you would be with them, you would take care of whatever's going on in their lives, Lord, that kept them from being here this morning. And we ask it all in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.